Those two girls.
Sarah, one night in early January, just this year, I was sitting down, the kids were busy downstairs, and I opened up my lappy and I thought, yes, I'm going to watch me some Netflix. And up on my screen flashed the Speed Cubers. And I thought, what on earth is this? As it turns out, I just clicked play. I thought, I see a Rubik's Cube. I'm just going to see where this takes me. And boy, oh boy, have I been transported down a bloody rabbit hole of Rubik's Cube speed solving champions.
And you said to me, Sarah, you must watch this. And I did it. And she said, you're going to fall in love. I mean, love's a strong word.
No, it's not strong at all. It's accurate.
But it's how I feel about Aussie world champion speed cuber Felix Zemdegs, who is, I suppose, the main person in the documentary. And,
we tracked him down.
We've got the 25-year-old boy we've fallen in love with on the line now. Good morning, Felix.
Morning, Liz. Morning, Sarah. Thanks for the intro.
Look, our pleasure. Watching you was an absolute pleasure on that documentary series and the journey that you've been on since you were a little whippersnapper with Rubik's Cubes. Congratulations on all you've achieved. Tell us how you got into Rubik's Cubing.
Sure. I first learned how to solve a Rubik's Cube when I was 12 years old at the start of high school. Kind of came across YouTube videos of people doing it and looked up a tutorial and then pretty much got very, very addicted, as you can tell probably by the documentary, still doing it at age 25. So, yeah.
Felix, the documentary shines a light on boys and girls, women and men who I believe you guys are like genius level smart. Is that accurate?
It's definitely not accurate. That's a misconception that we're trying to still fix, but you definitely do not have to be any sort of genius or, you know, maths whiz or anything like that to learn how to solve a cube. I've taught a lot of people, and anyone can learn how to solve it. You don't need to be particularly good at anything, really, just a bit of patience and practice.
I mean, watching you, I'll describe the process at the World Championships for people listening. So basically, you sit at a table, there's a judge or an adjudicator kind of person, or an umpire?
Yeah.
A referee.
Yeah, a judge.
That's it, thank you. At the table beside the speed cuber, and the Rubik's Cube is covered by a box, a cloche, if you will, and then the box is lifted off. The competitor picks up the Rubik's Cube, analyzes how the color patterning and what have you currently stands, and then when ready, you madly solve it in sort of under 7 seconds, basically, depending on how big the cube is. I've never been able to solve a Rubik's Cube once, and your record when you were 12 was 19 seconds. Now tell us how fast you're doing it.
These days, probably doing it in around 6.5 seconds on average.
So the whole cube, not just one side, which is what I'm currently at, Felix.
Yeah. The standard, the 3x3 cube. Normally about 6.5. Best single time in comp is 4.16.
Four seconds.
And so I suppose the competition also has forged amazing friendships between you and your fellow competitors from around the world. And the doco really showcases your relationship with Max Park, who's 19 years old, an American former world champion who happens to also be on the autism spectrum, and the impact that you have had on Max's life and vice versa, Felix, I suppose.
I can't believe he's already 19, but like you said, over the years I've been able to, lucky enough to travel around the world and meet all sorts of various people and share this great hobby, and I guess you call it sport or whatever. But so Max is one of the competitors, and over the last, I'd say, kind of 4 or 5 years, he's the one who's, you know, been winning all the competitions, breaking all the records that I used to have. And so because we've been at all these competitions together, we've been able to get along, and I guess he kind of really looks up to me, and his parents are lovely people, and been able to, I guess, help him out along the way.
I mean, you're downplaying this, yeah, Felix, because of how humble you are. And this is what's so beautiful about watching the Speed Cubers is Max's parents said you were the first person he ever took a photograph with. that when he started pointing, he was pointing at you. And his father explained how for a lot of kids on the autism spectrum, pointing is something that is almost unattainable. And you congratulated him as soon as he broke your own world record. And, I mean, there's vision in there of you helping him eat his vegetables, or his parents saying how when they needed him to clean his teeth, they would say, well, Felix cleans his teeth. And it's this kind of, it's just...
Yeah, it's a. Have you been flooded, Felix, by messages from other people on the spectrum or parents of neurodiverse kids saying, you know, thank you for what the show has brought to our community? Because I imagine it's a game changer, pun intended, for people who are, you know, a little bit different, I suppose, that it's not just about the athletes and the beautiful people, that there's this subculture of amazingness under the surface.
Yeah, no, I've definitely got a lot of correspondence and messages over, well, I mean, it was released in July, but like the first few months were pretty hectic. And then even still kind of every day you get a few messages here and there from all sorts of people. And yes, particularly kind of parents or those on the autism spectrum kind of saying, you know, they really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, they just wish or they wish for something like that for their child as well. And so, you know, that's been really lovely.
You're 25 now, Felix, and there's a comment that was made in the doco about how a lot of the time when people reach adulthood, you know, they obviously drop out of the competition because they have to live a life, they have to earn a living, they don't have the time to be necessarily, you know, solving Rubik's Cubes that they did in their youth. Do you still compete?
Oh, I still absolutely compete. I've got my first competition of the year next weekend, Melbourne Summer Open.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, no, I still practice and compete and everything like that.
And how does it go for your street cred? So when people find out that you're a world champion speed cuber, talk us through that.
these days, I guess most people that I would meet or get introduced to, it's kind of, you know, I don't tend to bring it up, but like if a friend, you know, introduces me or something like that, they'll be the one that brings it up, or they'll have invariably heard of it here or there or somewhere. So,
Do you put it on your resume?
Yeah, it's on my resume, just because I've like done a lot of things related to it, working with cube companies, a lot of travel and competing. Obviously, it was a big part of my life.
Do you think there's a future in commentary for you? Because
I love the commentary on it.
Commentary was great. And then, oh, there's a bit of a lock up there. Oh, he's not going to be happy with that. I mean, is that your future, Felix, once you've retired from breaking records?
I don't know if that's a full-time thing. I think the competing and breaking records is much more of a full-time thing, but in due course, but I still plan on, you know, practicing and competing for a while to come, I think.
Felix, can you make some sort of income from competing? Like, can you be sponsored? Are there companies that are now coming on board going, you know what, it's not just athletic sport that's getting a lot of attention. Why, let's put our money behind this.
You absolutely can. And so I guess that was one of the things I'd push back a bit on from the documentaries are the notion that, you know, you have to, you know, go and live a life and, or a normal, quote, not life, and, you know, work and study and find a partner and whatever. I think in the years to come, speed cubing and the competitions will continue to grow and grow and grow. And yeah, I see it kind of reaching something like, you know, esports or not like chess, but like a level below that sort of thing, where people can seriously do this, because I think there's an audience for it. And
well,
so
I wonder what.
I mean, there's the sponsorship, there's a bit of prize money, there's all sorts of other miscellaneous things that you can do with it, for sure. People do coaching, people do streaming, that sort of thing.
And do you think the speed cubers has increased the number of young kids interested in Rubik's Cubes in the same way the Queen's Gambit has basically broken records for chess clubs?
Oh, thank you for bringing up the Queen's Gambit. That was my favorite thing of the year.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. I suspect it has, I mean, probably didn't blow up quite as much, but I suspect it's probably had kind of a similar impact in that, you know, people
respect it
and picked up a cube and learn how to solve it. And particularly last year, they probably had a fair bit of time to do so and look up some tutorials and that sort of thing. So I suspect it's growing and going to just continue to grow and grow. And it's probably had a bit of an impact. So hopefully once we're able to have some competitions all around the world, we'll be able to see the effects of that. But yeah, that's my impression. It's just going to continue to grow.
I'm interested in the Netflix process. At what point were you approached? How did that all come about? And did you make a buck out of it?
Oh, dear. So it was 2018, end of 2018, so probably about 2 years ago or so now. This lady, Sue, the producer, she introduced herself to me. She's actually the parent of a speedcuber. And so she's been going to cubing competitions for however many years, 3 or 4 years. And she's in the film industry, did a lot of advertising. And she basically came to me and said, oh, you know, I want to make a documentary about speed cubing. I want to pitch it to Netflix. I want to pitch it to, like, if I can't get Netflix, I'll pitch it to other places. But I really want to get it to Netflix. And I've heard similar stuff, to be honest, like over the years. People coming and, oh, I want to make a movie about speed cubing. But nothing's ever really kind of fallen in place and actually happened. So I was like, oh, sure, yeah. Like, good luck with that. Happy to help you if that goes well. And then a couple of months later, she comes back and says, yeah, Netflix are keen. Wow. You know, we're going to come to Australia and film the championships and film you at home and stuff like that. And I was like, ah, okay. I didn't realize what I signed up for here. And so then that all took place. But it was pretty casual. Like, I didn't have to do that much. Like, they filmed me for probably about 2 weeks or so.
And did they know from the get-go that you would be one of the main characters, for want of a better word? Or did that develop
I think that was the plan originally. The focus of the documentary was just going to be on me and Max as the characters, and then going into the world championship. But, I mean, it's a documentary, so you can never really plan for anything that happens. That was one of the things that I kept telling Sue, the producer, you know, you know, we have a chance of winning, probably like, you know, 20-30% each chance of winning, but someone else could very, very easily win. And she didn't believe me, but I think it was a good, we won't spoil too much, but no, I didn't get paid for a documentary. I don't know if that, you know, it's good artistic license to pay your documentary subject.
Yes.
I'm sure Michael Jordan probably got a bit of coin out of his.
Hey, there's still time for you, Felix. Don't you give up on your dreams yet, all right? Look, you're the only speed cuma to win the... Why do I keep saying cuma?
I don't know. I'm concerned for you. I'm really concerned for you.
Speed cuba to win the World Cube Association World Championships twice in 2013 and 2015. And let's hope your next comp next year, next month... Shit.
Next week.
I've given up. Bloody hell. Bloody hell. Felix, has another title coming your way.
Before we go, you were talking about tutorials before, and if this reaches the ears of kids and adults alike, where can we find you or watch what you do, and how can you teach us?
Sure, sure. I mean, so I've got a YouTube channel. If you just like type in my name, it'll all pop up and it'll be there. So that's where I kind of have all the record and solving videos and that sort of thing. But if you're looking to learn how to solve the cube, again, just kind of there's infinite amounts of tutorials on YouTube. So if one doesn't work for you, then just kind of pick another one. I do have some tutorial videos. There's a channel called Cube Skills. They'll have a lot of different tutorial videos if you want to learn. But the internet's your best bet for everything.
And you can kids can look up local competitions in their area. Are there that many of them?
There are a lot, or there were until about March last year. But I would say roughly 20 to 25 every single weekend around
Who
the world.
Knew,
there were
Sarah.
Lucky enough in Australia, we're starting to have some competitions again. So the competition website is World Cube Association.
Okay.
So that's the body that runs all the competitions, but anyone can sign up for any competition, as long as you can cross the state borders and get there.
Amazing.
Oh, Felix, it was a joy to watch you on the big screen, or little screen in the lounge room.
Yeah, I reckon it's going, well, I know it came out in July, but I think it'll have a second wind.
Yeah, we're late bloomers. and it's been a joy to chat to you this morning. Thank you so much for sharing your speed cubing and speed cuming knowledge with us.
And thanks for waking up so early. Are you going to a proper job now? Like, not like us. I mean, like, our job isn't proper, but do you have a proper job?
Yeah, I have to sit on my computer. I have to get on my computer early today.
Are you in finance? Yeah. Was that what was said at the end of the doco?
Yeah. I work for, it's kind of like the Australian government. It's called the Future Fund, but basically it's kind of Australia's money that this organization invests.
Wow.
I love it.
You said that you didn't have to be a genius to do Rubik's Cube, Billy. Liar, pants on fire.
You don't have to be a genius to do this either.